Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Tell you who's going to start their season on time. The 16 NBA 2K league teams. This is not a drill. This is the NBA 2K league. If you don't know, this is there are 23 teams in the league that play, and this is video games. This is not real basketball. This is video game basketball, and apologies to those who play video game basketball. I'm not saying you're not athletes. I don't want to have that discussion, but bottom line, Cinco de Mayo, Tuesday, May 5th, the NBA 2K League is going to start with 6 weeks of remote gameplay. They will participate regular season games from local markets with simulcast on YouTube and Twitch. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there will be games, so if you're starving to watch video games being played, you can do that. Now, I spent my childhood watching video games. That was when you were standing in the middle of the arcade, waiting with your quarter sitting right up on the edge of the on the game. That's how you knew you were next for the people out there that the millennials. That's how you knew you had the next game. You put your quarter there, and then when the person lost their lives, then you went, and now it was your turn to play the game. You know who's got his quarter up on the machine right now? Intern Jack. Intern Jack is joining us live via satellite. Here he is. Congratulations, man. You're a married man.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show.
It was an honor to participate in some small way in your celebration. For people who don't know, Intern Jack got married. And we were able to drive by and kind of blow the horn, hold a sign out the window. The kids were really excited. It was, you guys looked all grown up. You looked all dressed up. It was beautiful. What was that like to sort of have that process?
Yeah, I mean, we just, throughout the whole process, we just really had to focus on the most important thing, which was that we were going to get married. And, you know, we just didn't want to wait any longer. We weren't sure what the future was going to hold in terms of coronavirus, when they're going to let big groups gather again. So we just decided, you know what, we're going to do it now in April. And then later on, once everything clears up, we can have the big celebration with all of our friends and family.
Now, did you know that people were going to be driving by, or you guys were, it looked like you were taking photographs? Is that what did you know as far as the procession that came through there?
So I was supposed to be surprised, and my dad told me, because he always tells me the secrets that I'm not supposed to know. But the main secret was that it was most of the people who came by were Grace's extended family, and she was completely surprised, and it was really awesome. She started crying because she was so touched and emotionally, and it was a really great surprise. And I was actually surprised that you came, and I didn't know who was coming. I just know that people were coming.
Well, I had to be there, man. I needed to see you and Grace all dressed up, and you guys looked amazing.
Yeah.
I got a photo of you guys. I know you have better photos than the one I took, but I sent you some of the video that we took, and the kids were excited to sort of see it and sharing it, and it was neat. I really appreciate you, your dad, including us, and I thought it was really cool. It looked like you had a drone out there taking pictures, too, and people just kind of drove through. I sent it to Alabama Adriana so that she could kind of share in it. And I know that we're all proud of you, and we're happy for you and Grace. And I just think it's interesting. These are interesting times. Like, what was that discussion like with you and Grace when you said, hey, we got to focus on what's important?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, it was really hard because we had all of our plans lined up for June. And we had to go, like, we had to be adults about it and be like, well, there's a lot of money, like, not really our money, but our parents' money, and we're going to have to make decisions, and it might kind of ruined our original idea of what our wedding was going to be like. But we don't. There's so much uncertainty, and so we don't want to get tied up in a bunch of things that aren't even going to happen. So we had to get on the deadlines and reach out to all of the people. We had all the vendors, all the stuff that goes on with the wedding. We had to reach out to all those people and talk to them about how they handle refunds and stuff like that. And it was kind of a good experience for us to like having to deal with a crisis like this. And it was tough. It was definitely tough to have to cancel our original plans. But once it came down to the day of, I mean, we couldn't have it any better than it was.
We're talking to intern Jack, who many of you know from this show and his work behind the scenes. You're a numbers guy, Jack, crunching the numbers. What is your degree in at Oregon State, and what do you want to do? What's next for you professionally?
Yeah, so my degree is a major in mathematics with a minor in economics, and I also love sports, and it was a really sweet gig I had with you last year, and, you know, I'm really open to any jobs going forward, but I specifically like sports and data analytics, that sorts. And I've even been doing getting back into doing some projects of my own on my own time. And yeah, so just really data analytics, numbers, anything, finance, I like it all.
Jack, you know, you talk about planning a wedding. You also talk about sort of the transition from college student to, you know, growing up in the real world with jobs. And I'm always curious about the experience of younger people and what you're going through. And Adriana said earlier in the show, we kind of were talking about her job hunt as a recent graduate. She sort of commented that the pressure was off. Do you know, you've got siblings who have been through this before you, who have kind of laid the roadmap to what you do after college and as you get married as a young person. Is there more or less pressure, do you think, on kids of your age now that are leaving college and facing sort of grown-up decisions?
Well, I would say that I would kind of agree that the pressure is off in a sort of way. Most of my friends I've talked to, they feel like the pressure's off because, you know, they're going to try their best to get a job, but if it doesn't happen right now, it kind of makes sense just because of the way the economy is going. For me personally, like, I have a part-time job just working minimum wage just right now, so, like, I feel, you know, I'm going to make money until everything passes and I can get like my degree job. So I definitely also would agree that the pressure is off, but at the same time, I just got married. So then the pressure is back on. So,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of back and forth.
Your first time you met Grace, your wife was where?
Yeah.
What was your first meeting, first impression?
It was three summers ago, 2017. We were at a party with mutual friends, and I had heard a lot about her, but I had never met her before. And so when I met her, she was with one of my good friends, and it was just kind of like, oh, hey, like we've known about each other for a long time, but we've never met each other. And we just kind of hit it off right away, and we became good friends that summer and then started dating later that fall.
You guys are a great couple. I've got, I've gotten to know you, of course, and her a little bit, and her, you guys being at Camp Exceptional last summer, volunteering and helping out kids. That was awesome. And it was just neat for our family to kind of drive by. And Adriana and Judah, you want to wish a congratulations to intern Jack?
Well, I've said it a few times now, but I'm so happy for y'all, and I'm really excited to see what you can do with your degree and everything, and I wish you guys the best of luck. Have fun on your honeymoon when it happens, and yeah.
Yeah, Jack.
Thank you very much, Robin. Hey, Jenna.
Congratulations, man, on seeing it through, being willing to be flexible, and making the most of the opportunity that you guys created. I'm very impressed, and I know you're a hard worker, a humble guy, and you have a bright future ahead of yourself, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'll tell you this. I told my dad, I said, you remember Jack from Camp Exceptional? And he says, yeah, that big, tall kid. He said, man, he says he's a self-starter. He figures things out. And I said, I've always said that about you, Jack, And we loved having you around the show. You're always welcome to crash and hang out on the show until the real job comes calling. But where are you going on the honeymoon? Like, what's the approach there? Are you guys just going to wait, or what happens with the honeymoon?
So the original honeymoon was planned for late June, well, we were going to go to Hawaii. So we still have those plane tickets and those like reservations all still set up. We're still going to wait and just see how long it takes to figure out if we can actually go. So right now that's the plan, and we hope that it all works out still.
All right. Well, congratulations to you and to Grace, and we appreciate you, man. I appreciate you popping on the show.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Intern Jack. There he is. Feel like, you know, how many interns have we? I should make a list, like, how, over the years, how many interns we've had. But we have, for Jack, it was really interesting because he just wanted to be part of the show because he was interested in analytics. He was interested in math. He was interested in helping out at Camp Exceptional and loved last summer that he brought Grace along and said, hey, she wants to really help out too. And I was like, okay, these guys, now I got a chance to see them and see how much they care about people and how much they care about kids. And obviously he comes from a great family and he's got parents that are supporting him and siblings that are supporting him. But it was really neat to kind of drive by and see like, all right, here's two kids in their 20s who are getting married amid all of this. And this is the reality. Like, it's literally us pulling on to a road and kind of doing a 60-second drive-by where we wave out the window and take a quick picture and never get closer than 6 feet and drive away smiling because we're like, all right, that was really it's really cool that they have focused on what's important. That's such an important lesson. Maybe we all take that with us. Like, just amid all of this that is going on, think about the things in your life that you can focus on that are important. Sometimes the intern does the teaching. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Something I hadn't thought about. The coronavirus has left millions of kegs of beer in stadiums, restaurants, and bars. Heard all this talk about how people were drinking more. It turns out that alcohol that was sent to the stadiums, to the concert venues, to the bars, to the restaurants, it all has an expiration date. And so I saw a Wall Street Journal story and a Washington Post story today about the fact that beer cannot be thrown out without violating some environmental regulations. This is a brewing problem, so to speak. How do you get rid of all this beer? Now, Adriana's hand has just shot up because she has the answer on how to get rid of all this beer. What would you do if you are restaurants, stadiums, bars, can't throw the beer out? It's all going to expire. It's going to go bad at some point here shortly. And I guess if you just give it to, what would you do? Just offer it to college students?
Okay.
You want a keg?
Stay with me here.
Okay.
You donate it to college campus housing facilities.
Okay.
That are on campus still. And then they give back to the economy because they go drunk online shopping.
There you go. So
it's
get
a full
your
circle.
Get your stimulus check, and have a couple of beers on us.
Right, and then go spend your money and get the economy kicked back going.
It's interesting because I haven't reached out to like the local breweries that I know, but I guess the perception was that the retail alcohol sales in grocery stores and liquor stores had spiked across the country because of everybody being at home. But I guess there's a lot of product that is sitting in restaurants and bars, and that hard alcohol that's sealed, yeah, okay, that can just wait till whatever. But the kegs apparently are an issue. And I did not think about that. Another story that I saw was a story that claims that the world's pets are now more stressed out because of coronavirus. And I immediately went, come on. Has somebody talked to Dr. Doolittle write this story? Like, what, the pets of the world are more stressed out because of coronavirus? If anything, I would think more people were home. Therefore, you would have pets that were like, hell, this is great. There's someone's home with me all day. This is, you know, there's no stress. I know we had a dog once upon a time that got super anxious when we left to go to work. And then we got a second dog to keep that dog company, and it went much better. And we looked back and went, man, we traumatized that dog by leaving it home alone for long stretches of time during the day. So now I would think the world's pets are more relaxed. But this story claims that the pets sense the anxiety that people have about the economy, their families, their health, all of that stuff. Plus, more people at home means more children at home, and children tend to stress pets out. Agree or disagree that the pets of the world are more stressed? Judah, go.
Yeah, I'm not buying it, man. I think this is a much better situation for the pets. I mean, look, they don't get tired of the humans. Except for the one cat that I grew up with, who I was not a fan of. Every other animal really enjoys being with humans, and this is like heaven for them. I'm not buying the fact that they're getting tired of us at all. Au contraire, mon frère.
Adriana.
I disagree.
Really?
I was at my sister's all weekend helping her with the twins, the nine-month-old twins, and I saw them reach for the dog and grab the dog's hair. And the dog never snaps at them, but he gets pretty close. So.
Yeah. I can tell you, having a three-year-old and a five-year-old here, that the one of the refrains that has happened like continually over the last 4 or 5 weeks has been, we have smaller dogs, and the three-year-old and five-year-old are playing with those dogs a lot more. But I find like sometimes the dogs go to a part of the house or out in the backyard where they can't be bothered, and they're looking to get away, looking for like, hey, isn't it school time right now? I'm supposed to be home alone right now. Why is no one leaving the house? So I agree with the Adriana. I do think there's a little bit of stress there. I just don't buy. Look, I love dogs. I've grown up with dogs. I've had animals. I've been around animals my whole life. I don't necessarily buy the fact that the dogs would be more stressed out because you're stressed out. I think even though they would sense anxiety on some level, I don't necessarily think it would translate to their being empathetic and saying, I also have that anxiety. And I look, for those of you out there who have service animals that perform a service, bless you. But this goes more in the therapy dog category, therapy pets, therapy stakes, where I see people bringing their animals on the airplane and into public restaurants that shouldn't be in public restaurants. And back in the day, we had a lady that used to bring her pug to work. I'll tell you, that pug used to stress me out. I know it was her therapy dog. She had a nice little vest on it, said therapy dog on it. But that pug would be down the hallway, panting, walking around, unregulated, no leash, just kind of wandering around the office at all hours of the day. And I was like, dude, it's cool that you have a therapy dog. If that therapy dog could stay in your office, that would make the rest of us better, because I always default to my default position, which is, what if we all did it? What if we all brought our dogs to work? It would be that day where, like, somebody's golden retriever. You remember Milt used to have that corner office? He had this giant golden retriever, the thing. He'd bring it to the office. It was cool on dog day. I don't want to see that dog every day. I don't want that dog in the office every day. And if that's the case, why am I not bringing my dogs? Then what? Then we have, like, you know, a zoo. That's not a work environment. So,
but then you could post that zoo video on YouTube and get like a billion views. You went to the zoo.
If that were my objective, I'd be all about that. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Ken.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.